Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and where friends don't let friends feed kibble. Hey, we want to say hi to some people who are out there listening to us. Lisa Stormont, thank you so much for sending me deodorant information. So, you know, Dr. JC, you know, we were talking about this new deodorant that I'm trying that has baking soda in it. And I have to tell you, it's killing me. The baking soda is scratchy. It works. I'm going to say this. It works. There's no aluminum in it. It works. It keeps me from stinking. Okay. But I got one pit that is just so inflamed. And we like that word inflamed because we use it a lot. We know what it is. But anyway, yeah. So Lisa sent me some information about some other types of deodorant, which I will try out. Thank you for listening, Lisa. And also, I don't know if I'm saying this name right. I'm going to say Mo the Sharpay or M-U-O, Muo. I'm not sure, the Sharpay. But I know his mama listens to us, Dr. Jasek, on her walks every morning.
Oh, cool.
And she said, I can't wait for another exciting episode of Dee Dee and Dr. Jasek, J-A-S-E-K.
All right. Well, it's good to know we have a following.
Right. Thank you for listening because we, you know, we enjoy talking to one another though, even if we didn't have any listeners, right?
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely. I look forward to it. I think it's fun. We're like, you know, we're saving the world here.
We are. We have one episode at a time.
One podcast at a time.
And listen, this has been a crazy week. And I just want to say this to my listeners out there. Oh, there's a lot of misinformation that comes out on the internet. There's a lot of mudslinging that goes on. I'm really disappointed, Dr. Jasek, at companies that are supposed to be in the pet health industry that act like the commercial pet food companies, meaning they try to take good companies down with misinformation because they're losing a part of market share. And we have that going on here in Colorado. And there's a couple of companies here that are supposedly like champions of pet health. But what it appears to be is they are champions of the old pocketbook. And so we see a lot of mudslinging going on. And you know, it's not who we are here at Raw Dog Food and Company to bash other companies, unless they're kibble companies.
right.
Unless they're kibble companies, but not raw companies. Now, do we see some companies out there where their food's lacking bone, real bone, or they're lacking organs, or they're way too heavy on the veggies? Yeah, we see that all the time. But that's why we do these podcasts. So we don't have to go bashing that company. We're educating the pet parents so they can make good, solid decisions. But Dr. Jasek, one thing you're big on is vet your information.
Yeah, know where it's coming from. Because, you know, anybody can go out there and say anything. And just because something comes across on Facebook or Instagram, it doesn't mean it's true. You know, you have to be careful. You know, the information is all over the place out there. And me personally, and it doesn't matter what industry, whether it's, you know, I mean, the pet industry is the industry I'm most tied into, obviously, but any industry, whenever I see a company just bashing another company, to me, it discredits them right away. Because I'm like, okay, if that's all they got is bashing another company, if they don't have enough good in their company to promote themselves based on their own merit, to me, bashing another company, it's a cop out. Like they don't have a good enough product to promote. So in order to, you know, keep their profit up, they have to bash the other companies and try to eliminate the competition. So I'm like, okay, that just, that automatically in my mind just discredits companies, you know, right from the get-go. And I don't care whether it's, you know, shoes or clothes or whatever, but the, you know, the pet food definitely can, you know, falls into that. And this is what the, you know, this is what the kibble companies do. They bash raw. We hear raw bashed all the time. And that's what they do. They don't want it to take a foothold. So what do they do to eliminate the competition? They just bash the raw and say how bad it is, and pets are going to get sick from all the bacteria in it. And none of that is founded either. But this is what those companies do. So yeah, you have to be careful about the information. And you know, really, if you hear something that's alarming, contact those individuals and ask, where did that information come from? Because a lot of times it's completely unfounded. I mean, really dig in and where did you get this information about this company, and can you prove that this is actually true? Because so many times it's just mudslinging. It's like the politicians, which we're going to be hearing a lot of now with it being the big election year. You know, they don't talk about so much what they're going to do. They just try to make the other, you know, the other people, the other runners, look bad. And it's unethical, in my opinion.
Listen, there are 3D, 4D companies all around us here in Colorado. What is that? Dead, Disease, Down, and Dying. And you never see these mudslingers talking about them. Why? Because the 3D, 4D customer is not going to be the customer of the pet food stores, because if they're buying Answers or some of the, you know, more expensive food, they're not going to be the people that buy 3D, 4D meats, okay? But the people that buy Answers, that it's super expensive. You know, you work with this all the time. We, you know, Answers is a fine product. We don't, you know, we don't see anything wrong with it. But fermented food is not what we have. And certainly it is very expensive. And so we take a lot of that market share because we have this pure raw dog food. There's nothing in it. And the other thing that I find that's so crazy about these allegations is they talk about this recall that happened with one of our manufacturers. Well, Answers has a recall against them. Everybody has had a recall against them in the raw dog food industry. Right? And what has come out of these recalls has been nothing but good. So you put new processes in place, you change this and you change that. And because the FDA is constantly looking over your shoulder from that point on. So to go out and say, oh my gosh, this is a horrible company because they had a recall and I saw it on Dog Food Advisor, I have a different take on that, primarily because I'm in it and I see what's going on. It's been nothing but good. And remember, listeners, that recalls, and Dr. Judy, you wrote, we did a podcast on this, you know, should you throw out your dog food because it's had a recall? What we've talked about, and that is because there's a zero tolerance policy for bacteria in dog food. Well, how are you going to have a zero tolerance policy, Dr. Jasek, when you're producing poultry?
Yeah, it's impossible. Live food is going to have bacteria, but the thing is, there's way more beneficial bacteria out there than bad bacteria. There's only, you know, a few strains. And granted, there's some bad strains out there that could make pets sick, but those are the minority. If you have live food, you're going to have bacteria growing on it. You want bacteria growing on it because there are so many beneficial microorganisms. You don't want to be eating sterilized food. And that's like the companies going with the HPP now because they're so afraid of you know, the FDA coming in. So they're doing that as a CYA thing. But then you're destroying nutrients, for one, and you're eliminating beneficial bacteria. You know, we've talked about the microbiome. We're going to get more into that on this podcast, but we have thousands and thousands and thousands of strains of beneficial bacteria. You want those beneficial bacteria in the food. Bacteria that come from the soil are tremendously beneficial. So instead of reaching for that, you know, that probiotic supplement, because you're feeding a sterilized food, if you feed real food, you're going to be feeding the microbiome appropriately. And I think another thing on these recalls too, is none of them happen because pets get sick. These are just random checks that the FDA goes in and they find something in a facility, and then a, you know, good company will do a recall because it's the right thing to do. And then of course it costs them a lot of money, so they end up raising their prices. It just ends up driving up the prices of the, you know, raw products. But there's no pets getting sick here, right? You know, there's no reports. None of these recalls have reports of pets actually getting sick from this food. I didn't throw my food out. Texas Tripe had that, you know, recall. I just thought, I was bummed because I'm like, okay, great. Now I'm not going to be able to get the foods that I've been feeding. You know, that was my thought. Like I wasn't even concerned about the food because I know how the game is played. And I fed it. My pets didn't get sick. You know, my clients continued to feed it. You know, there's nothing wrong with the food. There are not pets getting sick here. I think that's really important to remember. And how many pets have gotten sick from, you know, contaminated kibble, the aflatoxin, the melamine, you know, some of these, you know, kibble contaminants that have killed pets, but, you know, you don't see, you know, all this bad press about those companies. It's the raw food industry that, you know, comes under attack. And I think it's really too bad when companies do have to do the mudslinging, because I think, you know, raw food gets so highly scrutinized by the veterinary profession that we could do so much more good if we actually came together and acted as a holistic community, and I think we would all benefit. I have an abundance mentality. I believe there's plenty of income and profit out there for all of us if we come together. But creating this disparity and keeping people, you know, confused and not knowing what to buy. That's not the way. That's not the way to go about it. I think the more we could come together and educate people about the benefits of raw, and what is a beneficial raw diet, and what does a balanced raw diet look like, we're gonna get way further.
You should have confidence in the people that you work with, and if you don't, then you want to go and find that company that you do trust.
Yeah, and I have one other comment on this too, as far as where, you know, information is coming from. You know, these people are also not medical professionals. I see patients. I specialize in seeing cancer patients. I'm making recommendations. Literally, my patients' lives are on the line when I see them, and I'm not going to be recommending products that are not good for these patients. I mean, I am looking at, okay, I'm trying to save these pets' lives, or maybe give them an additional 6 months of good quality life if their disease has progressed to the point that, you know, realistically, maybe we can't eliminate it, but let's keep these pets feeling good. So what I'm looking at my patients, bottom line, and I'm looking at the pet health, and I get feedback from the pet parents on how their pets are doing. And I'm seeing cases every day. I mean, every single day in doing this. So I'm not going to be, you know, recommending. I mean, I don't get any kickbacks from DD or Raw Dog Food and Company. I recommend it because it's a good product and my patients respond to it and they do well. And the pet parents like the fact that it's one-stop shopping and we can vary the diets to meet the pet's individual needs. You put all those things together, and then I watch my patients and start them on these products and they thrive. I get emails. I just forwarded you on DD about how You know, I think it was actually somebody that you had referred into me, but they said their dog was like, they'd never seen their dog enjoy eating so much, and the dog's energy just, I mean, they just started within, I think, the last week or two feeding raw. I mean, dog just thriving. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. And that's what I'm looking to create. And so I think there's a danger out there in listening to people that are pushing their own agenda. And that's why I say, find out where the information's coming from and how legit it is.
Guys, here's what we're talking about today. Hill's prescription diet. Who better to talk about prescription diet than the cancer vet? Hill's prescription diet, gastrointestinal biome canine. Okay, well, throw a bunch of words out there. Use our words. Use what we talk about the most, which is the microbiome. This is what they're trying to do, Dr. Jasek. And I find it really crazy that you're talking about a healthy gut, a healthy microbiome, and you're feeding a kibble food. How do those two even go together?
Yeah, they don't. It's all marketing. And that's what, you know, the Hill's company and whatever parent company owns them now, that's what they're the best at. And they just jumped on the bandwagon because the microbiome is being talked about a lot. It's being talked a lot about a lot in human medicine as well. So people are hearing it. It's become quite the buzzword. And this is where I want to empower people to read labels, read the ingredients. Don't just read. What they're counting on is that you're reading that front of the bag that says, you know, oh, biome. Oh, this must be good for my pet's gut. And I've heard all this stuff about the microbiome. So instead of feeding them yogurt, I'm going to buy this food and we're all taken care of because this is a good company. And it's nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, talk about not being interested in the best interest of pets. These companies are the epitome of that. They are interested in making money. If you look at the ingredients in these foods, nothing could be less appropriate for a carnivore. They're all grain-based. They're over 50% carbohydrate. And it's been proven that carbohydrates spike the glucose, they spike the insulin, they cause inflammation, which leads to more disease. And these claims, so what they do, and if you start reading the diet ingredients and these different types of foods, they'll say a food is good for, you know, joints, or this one's good for the gut, or one's good for weight loss. They're almost exactly the same ingredients. They'll just change a thing or two. So the in this biome diet, they're saying, well, they put beneficial fiber in to feed, you know, feed the bacteria in the gut to help, you know, grow the right bacteria, grow healthy bacteria in your gut. But you're feeding a completely inappropriate diet, oftentimes contaminated now with glyphosate. This has been proven. They're testing Roundup out of a lot of dry foods. Roundup actually, or glyphosate actually, was originally labeled as an antibiotic. It destroys the gut microbiome. So it's just incredible to me how they can claim this. They put a little extra fiber in. I think there was like, I don't know, pecan shells or something like that they put in for like beneficial fiber. And then they've got this food that's contaminated with chemicals, has no other nutritional benefits. It's probably actually wiping out and damaging the microbiome more than it's benefiting it. And yet they'll sell a ton of this food because they're great at marketing. They're great at marketing to vets. And, you know, everybody needs to start waking up and thinking, you know, don't just take, just like we were talking about vetting your information, ask some questions about what's in that food and why exactly is it beneficial for the pet? Because I think it's an easy way out for both pet parents and for veterinarians. Oh, well, Hill says this is going to support the microbiome. So let's feed that. Okay, job's done. Put the kibble in the bowl twice a day and I'm done. I don't put any more thought into it. You really have to, you know, asked some questions about these products. And I remember going through this when I, you know, owned my previous practice. I would quiz these sales reps, and it was kind of like a game because they got kind of annoying after a while, but it was a game for me to stump them, you know, because you'd always get to a point where they couldn't answer the questions because they just have scripts. You know, all this stuff is sold on scripts. They're told by the marketing company that's, you know, helping the company promote this food, this is what you say, and this is how you sell. And you sell based on fear, and you sell based on profit, and you get, you know, you get people afraid. You can get people to do a lot when they're afraid. And it's like they're making people afraid of feeding raw. It's how they promote these dry foods. Like, oh, don't feed that raw food because your pets are going to get sick. Whereas these dry foods are so, so void nutritionally. And why are cancer rates going up? You know, okay, so the majority of pets are eating diets like this, eating these dry foods. I mean, probably, I don't know exactly, but I'd say at least 80% of our pet populations are still eating these dry foods. And 2 out of 3 dogs are projected to be diagnosed with cancer. So does that not say that something's wrong with this picture, or maybe we need to be doing something differently?
Here's the first ingredient, which I find this to be quite funny, Dr. Jasek, when they talk about a healthy gut biome. Chicken. Okay, which we don't want to feed chicken all the time. Chicken's fine in the rotation, but not on a regular basis. So chicken, first ingredient. But then we go right into cracked pearled barley, brewer's rice, corn gluten meal, whole grain corn, whole grain oats. Then we get to our pecan shells. Here comes the flavorings. Chicken liver flavor, chicken fat, powdered cellulose, dried beet pulp, pork liver flavor. Oh my, that is so good. And my favorite, soybean oil and fish oils. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Right. Sounds delicious, doesn't it?
Well, is this just, I mean, I guess they think that our pet parents are just stupid. I mean, first of all, I would suggest you never feed a food that has fish oil in it, especially if it's in a bag. Mm-hmm. Rancid oils go bad in bags so fast, very unstable, ridiculous. And then all of these grains and barleys and corn, what the heck?
Gluten has been shown to damage the gut. Actually, there's a direct link between gluten and leaky gut. I mean, it's been shown that gluten causes that. So your barleys, your wheats, corn doesn't, well, there's corn gluten, but it's a different type of gluten, but your barley and even some of your oats and your wheat all contain gluten. So those ingredients will be directly damaging the gut in this product that's supposed to be so beneficial.
So what they say is helps soothe the digestive tract. Now I would say everything in there screams leaky gut, runny poops, you know, problems with the gut. So that just doesn't even ring true. And their next statement, how it helps, promotes the growth of beneficial gut bacteria. Dr. Jasek, what in there is going to promote beneficial gut bacteria?
Nothing that I know of, because in my mind, you have to feed a species in order to get the right bacteria, healthy bacteria to grow in a given species, you need to feed species appropriate food. And corn and barley and oats and pecan shells are not appropriate foods for a carnivore. So you're not going to. I think if people need to call these companies, like what research did you do? How many dogs did you test? You know, they do research studies where they, you know, test like 10 dogs and research studies can be slanted for any results. I mean, a lot of times they start with the results they want. The big companies with all this money, they will start with the results they want and they will pay to get the results that they want. And they will throw out, if there's statistics in a study that don't fit with the results they want, they'll just throw them out. Like, that's just an odd statistic. We're gonna throw that one out and we're gonna, you know, see how can we shape this study to say what we want to say. So a lot of times these claims are not even based on legitimate research.
If you see barley, brewer's rice, corn gluten meal, whole grain corn, whole grain oats, and then oils in a prescription food, you better run. You better run for the hills, okay? Run away from the hills, actually, is what I should say. Run away from the hills.
Right.
After you get to the fish oil, Dr. Jasek, then we start on all of the added synthetic vitamins and minerals. Now, what our pet parents need to know about synthetic vitamins and minerals? Almost all of them come from China. Come from China. Even if it says made in the USA, let me tell you how they're getting to say made in the USA. If those vitamins and synthetic minerals come over from China, and then they are put into the dog food here in the USA, they get to say made in the USA. Now, what is the issue with synthetic vitamins and minerals? Well, I'm going to tell you. Orientation. Real vitamins coming out of real food have a right-handed molecule. Synthetics have a left-handed molecule, and orientation matters. So let me give you a little example. In the early 60s, babies were born deformed because their mothers had taken a drug, thalidomide, and I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's thalidomide, and it was for morning sickness, Dr. Jasek.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the drug manufacturer did not pay attention to the orientation of the molecules in the drug, okay? So only one form of this drug treated morning sickness, while the other form caused birth defects. So when you look at all of these synthetic vitamins and minerals that go into the food because people are screaming raw dog food is not balanced and we've got to add all of these different vitamins and minerals in there, you've got to be really questioning, are they bioavailable to the dog and are they doing damage to the dog?
You know, we're biological beings. And so why has it become necessary that we have to take a pill or put, you know, these synthetic vitamins in our pet foods to be healthy? And, you know, the whole AFCO thing too, you know, AFCO is not a regulatory agency. They just make recommendations. And who knows where they get the information that they make those recommendations from. But AFCO standards are actually quite low. A pet food company can meet AFCO specifications without providing a good product nutritionally. And those synthetic supplements, it's almost like giving a pharmaceutical. You're giving the body a chemical. You're not giving the body whole food nutrition, which is what it's designed to digest and assimilate. You are literally giving it a manipulation, a synthetic form where they've taken that natural vitamin, how it occurs in nature, looked at the chemical structure, and then, like you were saying, Didi, then they create a chemical structure from that. But yeah, how do you know? You don't know what's going to happen in the body. Can it be assimilated into the cells as it's supposed to? Is it even toxic in the body? It literally is like giving a bunch of chemicals to the pet. And the oils too, just wanted to echo that. Those absolutely become rancid. They are not. Fish oil is quite unstable. And that's, I usually don't recommend fish oil. I recommend feeding whole fish. And you put it in a product like a dry kibble that's processed at really, really high temperatures, and all of your polyunsaturated oils, so your, you know, soy, corn, canola, any of those are very, very unstable. They are not, they're not heat stable. So they all become toxic, really. So you're feeding a food that not only does it not have appropriate nutritional ingredients, but all of these synthetics and this overprocessing ingredients literally make it toxic.
So we've really got to understand, you know, what the battle is out there, guys. And the battle, for the most part, is money. The battle, for the most part, is market share. And the battle that we face is marketing ploys and all of this information that gets passed around over the internet. So that's why I work. Look, if I was hiding something, I certainly wouldn't be paired up with Dr. Jasek, right? I wouldn't be sending my customers over to Dr. Jasek. You know, I've got this issue. Well, go see Dr. Jasek. I mean, how stupid would I be to do that? We have a love for pets. There's a great article on dogs naturally. You know, it's dysbiosis in dogs and what causes that. And dysbiosis is that disruption of the gut biome that we're talking about here. This is very interesting. Listen to this list. Artificial flavors. Well, we read that in that gut biome Hill's prescription. Preservatives. That was definitely in there. Pasteurization. We talk about that a lot, about HPP, sterile food. Dairy. There's one right there, Dr. Jasek, that people just want to battle on the dairy thing. Flea and tick meds, vaccines, drugs, and stress. Oh my gosh, people, are you stressing your dogs out? Because you stress me out sometimes. Dairy, that is one, Dr. Jasek, you and I did a podcast on dairy, and that is probably the only podcast that I've ever gotten pushed back on.
I look at, you know, my focus is I want to reduce inflammation. The root of all disease is inflammation. And these toxins, all these things we talk about, over-vaccinating or using pharmaceuticals, or they cause disease by creating inflammation in the body. And dairy, they've actually proven in people that there is about a 50% cross-reactivity between, like, people that are gluten sensitive oftentimes will also be dairy sensitive and can be asymptomatic, which means that the dairy proteins like the casein and the whey can be causing inflammation without them showing symptoms, but it's still doing harm in the body. So I take that evidence, and that's a big red flag for me. Now, that's not been proven in pets, but sometimes we need to extrapolate because, you know, doing studies costs a lot of money. And so some of these studies are just not going to, they're not going to be done because these studies are done by companies that want to make a lot of money and the results. The other thing I look at is the food, is it nutritionally necessary? What is really necessary for a carnivore, like a dog or a cat, to get the nutrients they need? Dairy, there's no dietary need for dairy. Anything that dairy could potentially offer in terms of protein and fat, that they can get that with the meat and organs. And that's what they're meant to eat. I believe that once animals are weaned, they're not really meant to consume dairy. There's no nutritional need for it. And I think it's potentially inflammatory. And as was brought up, I was actually really thrilled to see that in that article, because this is something I've been saying for a while. Like, I think we need to not be feeding dairy. And by the way, even if it's raw, even if it's fermented, is raw, if you're going to feed dairy, is raw better than the, you know, pasteurized, homogenized stuff that you get in the grocery store? Yeah, absolutely. But they still have these potentially inflammatory proteins. And so when I have a question mark about, you know, dairy causing inflammation, and there's no nutritional need for it, then why feed it? And they came up with this microbiome thing that they've actually, you know, are starting to show now that has an adverse effect on the microbiome. So I'm actually really happy to see some of that information coming out.
Yeah, actually the name of the article is Feed Your Dog's Microbiome, Not Just Your Dog. So I do ask this question. Tell me what you're trying to get out of the dairy. What is it in the dairy that you're trying to gain? Okay. And most of the time, what they say is, I want to feed the good gut bacteria.
And a lot of those, you know, you're feeding, you know, I've heard that people feed a little yogurt. Well, all those grocery store yogurts are pasteurized. How much beneficial bacteria are even in them? I'm guessing not very much, because those products are all, you know, pasteurized, they're not allowed to sell, you know, raw dairy in the store. So all of those have to be pasteurized. So are the bacteria surviving that? And, you know, I thought it was really interesting in that article where they showed the turnaround. And this is what I've been saying for a while. Like, first thing we need to be doing is feeding the bacteria that we want to grow, because they will grow. And they showed that in that study. It was a remarkable change when they took the kibble fed dogs and started to feed them raw. The populations in their microbiome changed dramatically by just changing the diet. I think sometimes supplements become too much of a crutch too. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I can screw up the diet a little bit because I'm going to give these supplements. And so it's a CYA. Well, I give these supplements and these probiotics, then I don't have to worry so much about the diet. But you do, because if you're not feeding the microbiome correctly, no probiotic supplement is going to make up for that. It can't. There's thousands of species of bacteria in your gut, and your average probiotic supplement is going to have a handful. And like I said, if we know we've wiped out the microbiome, lots of antibiotics, chemotherapy, something like that, trying to replenish some of them with a supplement probably has some merit. But most importantly is we need to be feeding the bacteria that that we want to grow. And you know, this change can happen really fast. I listened to a podcast from a person that went to, he spent like a couple of weeks with like an indigenous culture somewhere in the world. I can't remember where, but he took his own like stool samples every day, and he actually had the microbiome checked. And in just 72 hours of being on like a completely natural diet, he just ate what this tribe ate that he was visiting, and his microbiome changed dramatically. So when we feed the bacteria that we want to grow, they're going to grow, and it's going to take down the populations that we don't want to see. If there's bacteria that are growing that are not beneficial and could cause disease, just like our, you know, we see clostridial overgrowth when pets, you know, tend to get sick. So we feed things that are, you know, not the things that the clostridium like to eat. Those populations are going to go down. And then also, you know, they found in this article, by increasing the beneficial bacteria, you actually are providing a better nutrition, because some of these bacteria produce things like B vitamins, and they actually produce nutrients that are then absorbed. You just have to give them the right food, and they'll grow. It's so simple. It seems so simple to me, Dee Dee. It's like it's such a no-brainer. We feed a healthy food, a healthy species-appropriate food, raw food. Take it out of the package, thaw it, feed it, and your pet's going to be healthy. Like, sometimes it's mind-boggling to me that this debate even exists, because it seems so logical to me.
Well, we are here to help you make the best decisions for your pet's health. And as always, if you have a question that you would like answered here on the Raw Dog Food Truth, please email me at dee@rawdogfoodandco.com. You can also get in touch with Dr. Jasek, Jasek. All right, we'll see you guys next week. Have a good
one. Oh, snaps, snaps, snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.